Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident Podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's Bed Radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, Most Tin Cans Connected with String, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the Plate in Pete and Pete's Mother's Head, and any other podcast app that somehow escaped this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Hi there, everybody. It's your neighborhood-friendly host, Al Lehman, coming to you from an undisclosed location far, far away from where I normally broadcast. Forgive if this sounds a little rough. I am in the middle of nowhere, and I don't have my microphone with me. I've avoided pretty much all technology in the last week. I've been on my honeymoon all over the state of Minnesota, and I've stayed in three or four different cities. Cities is a generous word. The one place we stayed was 12 miles from the nearest town of Ely, which is the nearest crossroad to the cabin where we stayed. But it's truly been a marvelous time, and I know you didn't get an episode last week, and I hope you understand that spending time with my new wife out in the middle of nowhere kind of took precedence. We haven't missed an episode since we dedicated one to Heather and Matt, and we've been pretty consistent over the time, though I'm thinking we should restructure it a bit to give you the best quality possible. Possibly cutting down to one episode a week, but putting more focus into that one episode, and I'll leave it up to you. You know, let me know what you think. One episode would be easier to schedule with my school schedule coming up. So, first of all, I want to thank our newest patron, Ryan H. That's the name he put, so that's the name I'm going to say. It's a funny story. I told it to Brian on the podcast earlier. Sort of reconnected because of Eli Bosnick and Thomas Smith. Turns out I went to high school with the guy and ran in the same circles, so it's funny that mutual knowledge of people brought that together. You know, he wrote a tweet about listening to me and Eli Bosnick and talking about how it was surreal, and all of a sudden we realized we've known each other for over 15 years. Well, we were at least aware of each other, maybe is a better way of putting it. We were both goths back in the day, or social outcasts, so to speak. You heard me referring to the Donald Trump rally that was at the high school I went to. Let's just say plenty of us were just looking for our place in a place where we were made very aware of our social and economical standing. And if there's one good thing about that, it prepared me for the Ivy League, because I can't walk onto that campus without being made aware of that. But fortunately, I'm used to it, and fortunately, I couldn't give less of a shit anymore. I'm entering my senior year at Penn, and I went to 2 years of a community college before that. So I went to 2 years of college essentially to get into college. So this will be my sixth year of undergrad. I am so ready to be done and to move on. And let's just say I'm not planning on staying with the Ivy League for the masters, because I've had enough. I've had enough of a lot of things, and that's what I'm going to try to get to here. Like I said, bear with me. This is not with a microphone. I'm sitting in a cabin next to a cow farm, and the cows are enjoying some pleasant conversations about astrophysics and the Milky Way. We have done the same thing because we can see the Milky Way. If you haven't been this far out in the country before, you may think you've, like, stargazing. You need to get somewhere like here. Because the first time you actually see the Milky Way, it'll leave you breathless. Had a lot of time to think in the last week. You know, we took this vacation, this honeymoon. Even though it was short, it was a time to sort of unwind and decompress, to get away from everything for a few days, to spend time with only each other. So I wasn't posting on Facebook or, you know, spending time on the internet. I haven't watched TV, and that's been such a good thing. The only things I've really participated in are podcasts, listening to them, and books. I have read a lot. Outside of that, we've been traveling up and down the coast of Lake Superior, state of Minnesota, and of course the drive out, you know, took up a lot of time. But the state of affairs right now just sort of puts me in the place where I felt like I couldn't wait to get back to say what's on my mind. And with as much time traveling as I've had, I think it's put a lot of things into perspective for me. Things that get on my nerves or things that bother me that I haven't been able to put into words before, but seeing them in a much different place with time to analyze them, that is what has changed. I want to start with a phrase that has become such a cliche that anytime I hear it, my brain automatically wants to kick itself in the cunt. Sincerely held religious beliefs. A lot of you who have listened to my show have commented on the fact that I care a great deal for the people I interview, even when and especially when they disagree with me or vice versa. And I go to great lengths to make sure people are comfortable and know that I'm respectful and sincere. And I have had zero issues with guests coming on this show doing the same thing. But some of the commentary I've received, on the other hand, that's a little different, and that also extends to my regular life. There seems to be this idea that I'm not giving the other side its fair share, that I'm not specifying that it's not all X, or that I'm generalizing too much, or that I'm not taking into account another perspective, philosophy, religious belief, whatever. And I do try to bring all of you people who have those different perspectives. And I will never disrespect any of them. Although, you know, we have great hyperbolic fun at poking on people who are never going to talk to us. I'm not going to get an interview with Mike Pence, so let's make fun of him. Yeah. And if you can't tell from those jokes that they're not meant to be taken seriously, I feel kind of sorry for you. All right. The point is, whenever I hear that phrase, sincerely held religious beliefs, it's never in regard to working at a homeless shelter or volunteering at a library or picking up litter on the side of the road. Hey, why are you working at the library if they're not paying you for it? Well, it's my sincerely held religious belief that free access to knowledge is a basic human right, and therefore I donate my time for that because I believe in X. No. Whenever I hear that phrase, it's being used to take a morally superior position to someone who has a different lifestyle, perspective, philosophy, religion, sexuality, gender identity, whatever you want to call it. It is always being used in the position to deny something to somebody else. And that something regardless of what the physical attribute is basic fucking human decency. Why is it that sincerely held religious beliefs are used to hurt other people, to elevate yourself at the expense of someone else? Whether it's baking a cake, or cookies, or providing birth control to your employees, or tolerating people who might have the flaw of a different opinion than you in the workplace. Why is it always used to deny people civility or service or a product? The bent of private business only seems to be concerned with that. The libertarians only speak up when they're quote-unquote being forced to provide something against their wishes or against their sincerely held religious beliefs. That's the only time we hear about it. If it's come up in different circumstances, please let me know. But whenever I hear that phrase, I know some bullshit's about to happen, whether people think the homo gays are gross, or that that person shouldn't be in a bathroom, or that they don't want to make a cake that talks about how much they like dildos. Because, you know, if two guys or two girls are getting married, of course they're going to ask for a wedding cake that explicitly talks about sex and demand that the person writing a message on the cake proclaim that love as well. And that'll, of course, immediately get compared to Jewish bakeries and Nazi cakes or black people and KKK, whatever. It always jumps to those two extremes, but you know what's interesting about that? Those two extremes are hate groups. Those two extremes are people in a position of power, using that power to hold down other people, not seeing the irony of the fact that straight white Christian people are in a position of power and using that power with their bullshit sincerely held religious beliefs just to deny someone a service. You jump to those extremes because you think it ends in argument. You think by saying, oh, someone's going to come in and order a swastika cake. Yeah, that's where you jump to, not realizing that you're on the wrong side of the argument, too. You know, I'm supposed to take this libertarian point of view that private business is business, and you shouldn't have to provide a service to someone with whom you disagree. Well, fuck that. I'm sick of it. I spent half my life in retail providing service to people I vehemently disagreed with. People who were assholes. People who were impatient. People who couldn't get off their damn cell phone when you were trying to help them. People who argued about price. People who came in, used your service, tried something on, then went home and ordered it online. People who treat retail people like shit. People who steal. People who smell, or people who just go out of their way to make someone else's day miserable. I once saw a fist fight break out at the Mall of America when I worked there over a parking spot. I can't deny those people service. I would lose my job. I've never had been a cashier. Let's say I'm a cashier, which I was when I was a teenager. If someone came through and bought, this is a hypothetical, they bought a Donald Trump sticker, you know what I'd do? Ring it up, give them the price, check them out, thank you for coming, move along, and then talk shit about them later when they can't hear it. Why is that so hard for you to do as a baker, or a pharmacy tech, or whatever else it is that you do in your daily life, that somehow making a cake or giving someone their doctor-prescribed birth control pills is somehow sealing your endorsement of it? I gave Governor Corbett of Pennsylvania, before he was unseated by Tom Wolf, service at a suit store. And I gave Scott Perry service. And other Republicans that I'm not big fans of, I gave them service like I would anybody else. The only time politics ever came up was when the 50-something people I worked with would make jokes about us young, stupid, liberal Ivy League elites who don't understand those things. If you strip away the labels that people use to define themselves to make it easier than explaining away how they identify or how they feel, it's just people talking to other people. But right now, we have a guy running for president who is validating hatred and segregation and discrimination on the basis of making you feel morally superior for doing it, for being in a position of privilege and not wanting to catch the gay from the purple frosting. Somehow you're the good people? Somehow we're supposed to respect sincerely held religious beliefs on a basis of hatred or ignorance. But these are the situations where I'm asked to give levity or respect, or respecting beliefs on a basis of, like I've been saying, sincerely held beliefs. Here's the problem. With things like RFRA and places where they're basically legalizing religious discrimination or discrimination on the basis of religion, whatever you want to call it, it's not for all religions, and it's not equally distributed. It's disguised with a bunch of bullshit. But really what it is another way of circumventing equality on the basis of Jesus and making the people in power who feel threatened feel superior and pushing them back down. Whether you want to talk about Jim Crow or DOMA or anything else that has ever been used to subjugate a group of people because they're not like X. That's when I hear these phrases. And that's when I hear that I need to respect people's beliefs for calling them out on it. If you don't understand what I mean, maybe giving an example will help. Let's just go through some of the things that I hear on a regular basis and put them in reverse and see how they sound. Let's see how it would legitimately come across if I did the exact same thing to other people that is done to me on a semi-regular basis, and I'm supposed to show this respect for these beliefs, and I'm supposed to be tolerant of. Coming from the North Shore to southern Minnesota, I saw a pro-life Across America billboard about every 4 feet with a bunch of pseudo-facts that are used to propagate a perspective and belief that I'm not going to get into sides and debate. But the point is, they put anything possible on there to make you feel guilty about not joining their cause. My favorite one was, "At 21 days I could smile. I'm a cute born baby. How dare you?" Except, whenever I've been around a live baby, I'm told that they can't smile because whenever it looks like they are, it's just gas. So you're telling me that a 21-day-old fetus can smile, but when the baby's actually born, it forgets how for 4 or 5 months? But oh no. Anything to further our position on something that was settled on the Supreme Court back in the fucking 60s, let's push it forward on a bunch of billboards and remind you all who the good people are. How about I buy a bunch of billboards and say, how you have sex is wrong. If you have straight missionary sex within the confines of a traditional legal Christian marriage, then you're a freak and you should feel bad about yourself. Would that be acceptable? Would that even be remotely considered good taste? Then why is it okay when they do it? Why is it okay if they put up a billboard that calls gay people whatever word they choose to use rather than the word they know they want to use? Why is it okay for them to shower the highway with their propagandic message? Why is it okay that every time it's not a pro-life across America billboard, it's Jesus is the way or you're going to hell. If you die tonight, heaven or hell. Evolution is a lie. Vaccines are a lie. 1-855-54 truth. Yet if I put up a billboard that said, read The Moral Landscape by Sam Harris, or we're going to shoot you in the face, that wouldn't be considered good taste. Hell, if I just put up a billboard that said, hey, there's some of us out there who maybe don't fit into a certain religion, shouldn't we congregate somewhere? It would be vandalized by tomorrow, and the godly people would be celebrating it. It's happened. Look it up. If we're going to call out bullshit, let's at least acknowledge what the bullshit is. And that is that there are certain people who are afforded the right to congregate and feel like part of a community based on what makes them feel good, while others are constantly being told to tone down, stop being so activist-y, and to accept that some people believe other things that other people don't. Well, I'm tired of having to sit back and accept that while a certain group of people are allowed to run roughshod all over the country unquestioned. And whenever I speak to the contrary, I'm asked to give the alternate position or the alternate perspective. Can I call up Jim Baker and ask him what the atheist perspective is on his Mexican gringo food? Can I call up Joel Osteen and ask for a spot to discuss evolution or polyamory in response to him rambling on about the modern Christian family and tradition and giving money to the church while he sits in his tax-free $10.5 million house while talking about a guy who told of the evils of rich people? Or how about these ministers who go around in lavish living and prosperity ministry is what they're called, where they take in a bunch of money because those who follow them about God's word, which I believe is the book that mentions that it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, they've managed to spin their bullshit so well that they can take all the money they want and buy expensive clothes and fast cars and gargantuan mansions because God. If I went out tomorrow in this nice little small town I'm in, and said, hey, I'm going to take all your money. Well, not all of it, just 10% of it. I'm going to go door to door and get 10% of everybody's money. And then I'm not going to pay taxes on it. And then I'm going to buy a house and a car, and then keep coming back every week for 10% of their money. But I don't deliver anything. I don't say, yeah, I'm going to come back and bring you food, or I'm going to bring you a shirt, or I'm going to donate it to charity. I just take it. And whenever they question it, I say, it's what Richard Dawkins told me to do. I would be put in jail for fraud, or theft, or money laundering. Yet, when you deliver an invisible product for the sake of bullshitting people out of money they probably can't spare? It's seen as God's work. How about I go door to door and take No Illusions book and say, have you read the diatribes? If you don't read the diatribes, I'm going to smack you over the head with it. If you don't read the No Illusions diatribes, you're going to be sent to some place that's really hot and you're going to get sunburn. I don't know, Arizona. If you don't read No Illusions, you got to go to Arizona, which, let's face it, is worse than hell. Would that be appropriate? But yet, when Christians or Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah's Witnesses show up at my door, there's nothing wrong with that. And then they go back to their tax-free buildings and collect their tax-free paychecks and exercise political standing and endorsement despite the IRS having laws against that that they never enforce, and they know they're never going to be enforced. And then they use these influences to fill their government with people from one specific sect of a religion, and then fire up a bunch of people to say that we need more religion in the country. We're being victimized because there's not enough religion in the government. And the other people are going to want to, you know, replace it with the Satanic Temple. And yeah, you know, your kids are going to be scared into knowledge. So let's elect these people who swear that Jesus really looked like Seth Rollins while coming out for his opening match, including the body oil. Jesus loved body oil, and that's what we need to do to make America great again. Land of the free, and by free I mean straight, white, cis, heterosexual Christian. Preferably white, but, you know, if you talk right, we'll let you in. These are the people that are feeling persecuted and victimized. These are the people that Donald Trump is firing up because they're the victims. But I'm supposed to show levity. How many congressmen do I have that support my worldview? How many presidents do we have that have belonged to what I would consider reasonable beliefs or reasonable philosophy? How many people are running for senator this year who are about keeping that separation away and don't end every speech with God bless you and God bless America, or tweeting out thoughts and prayers, the second most meaningless cliche used right now next to sincerely held religious beliefs, which essentially mean I could do something, but I'm not going to, but I feel bad. There are literally thousands of people preaching the Word of God in churches, television, radio. I hear from them every day about how bad I am and how bad our agenda is and how queer people are going to get poked with pitchforks or whatever it is, and how they're responsible for bringing on God's wrath, and people get flooded because God has a weather machine and is going to magic us all into oblivion if the queers do the thing and get married. If your God is so infinite and so amazing and so loving, but he wants to fuck up a bunch of shit if people live a certain way that don't bother anybody at all, I don't want to follow that. I don't want to believe in a deity that cares about how consenting adults have sex. I don't want to follow a deity that thinks it's okay to talk about peace and love and loving everyone unless they don't believe in the same deity you do or practice sex or gender expression the same way that you do. But I'm supposed to be the one with levity. I'm supposed to say, now, not all of them believe this. I'm supposed to say, some of you out there may be listening that are Christian, but don't like this crazy shit. It's not afforded equal. I can't walk into Sunday school when they're talking about God flipping the light switch and making all the stuff in 6 days and say, hey, have you read this book by Carl Sagan? It's called Cosmos. I really think you need to be fair and represent all points of view. No, you wouldn't. You have so much. Millions and billions of dollars, all the influence, all the presidents, the biggest lobbying arm in the country. And yet you never have enough, and the country's falling apart if we don't thank Jesus every second for a crust of bread. But then a few of us come along and we say, I think that's fucking bullshit. And whether we're nice about it, or whether we're angry and skeptical and yelling about it, we're told we're not being fair. I've yelled about Donald Trump and being told that, well, Hillary lies as much too. I've yelled about all the influence that radical Christians have and be told, not all Christians do that. And it comes up every time in my email. And I'm not even the angry one. You know, I'm a big fan of Eli and Noah and Tom and Cecil and the Firebrands. I'm a big fan of them, but that's not my style. If you think I'm not being fair, listen to a few diatribes or listen to Tom and Cecil comment on Jim Baker. Comparatively, I think they're hilarious. But if you listen to anything I say and think I'm not being fair, consider what it's like in reverse. If you think it would be fair if I came to your church and interrupted what you were saying and told you that you're not being fair, you need to represent my point of view, how would it make you feel? I'm not going to give one single inch anymore to people who can't get over the fact that some people are gay, or some people are bi, or some people are trans, or some people are somewhere in the middle of their gender expression, because it doesn't fucking matter, and it doesn't hurt anybody. Why is this the hill you want to die on? Why is this the biggest threat to your life, that some people don't have sex or express themselves the way that you do, and that's somehow an affront to Jesus? Before this, it was the music, or the way people dress, or not having slaves that was going to bring God's wrath and destroy the country. And if you don't believe me on that, just look up 1850s slavery rhetoric. Look up the defenses of slavery that were perpetuated by the religious South. Religion as a whole, in my opinion, is simply used as a blank canvas to project whatever you like onto it and give yourself a morally superior feeling to X, to anyone else who may be different in some way. And I still do have to say that not all religious people feel that way. But why do I have to keep conceding that? If you're listening to me still, you know I'm not talking about you. But you also know that I'm not afforded the same chance for a rebuttal in that case. So let me have this. Let me have this platform. And leave gay people alone. And just let trans people go to the fucking bathroom. Because if you're really worried about rapists, you should visit the Catholic Church. Or Penn State. Because trust me, I live in Pennsylvania. And I'm sick to death of hearing about Joe Paterno's wins when the research keeps showing that people knew about it in the goddamn 70s. But how many football games football Jesus won is far more important than the lives that were ruined by that motherfucker. And your holy book is more important than people. And your icky feelings are more important than not ruining someone else's day by being an asshole. A lot of times at work, I would get asked, what church do you belong to? As a perfectly normal, appropriate question. Not only is it assumed that I belong to their group, but that if I don't belong in the public eye. And once again, this would not be appropriate in reverse. I cannot go up to a cashier and say, has Eli Bosnick licked your face today? Because he should. And if he doesn't, you're probably a bad person. Go get your face licked by Eli Bosnick. Or cut off your dick and throw it into a ceiling fan because you're not worth being a person. But from your point of view, it's automatically presumed that I belong to church, and the only question I have to answer is, which particular building do I visit on a regular basis? I know I'm ranting here a bit, but I've been treated like shit for this, and I've been called out on this, and I've had people argue with me over it. And I'm sick of always having to give. Now, as I said, anybody who comes on this show, I will absolutely give for the sake of civility and good conversation. But in my own opinions, no. I will not sit back and, for the sake of sincerely held religious beliefs, allow gay people to have their lives ruined any more than they already have by these assholes. I will not let trans people have to deal with even more shit than they already do because it makes you feel icky. I will not let you continue to go on bitching about special snowflakes and making up words to describe their identity. Guess what? All words are made up. Every single word that has ever existed has been made up to describe a thing. That's what words do. We're always adding them, we're always thinking about them, and if you don't like what genderqueer means, get the fuck over it. If you've never had to question those things, good for you. I'm not taking that away from you. But just because it's not your thing doesn't mean that it doesn't count or doesn't matter. It isn't about you. For once, it's not about you, Mr. Straight, White, Cis, Hetero, Christian. You can't have everything, and then when other people start to get things, cry persecution. You don't always get to get your way. You're in the majority. You have a privilege of not having to ever be questioned. The worst you have to do is get your feelings hurt or have to live with the fact that other people exist and aren't being stoned or separated from the majority anymore. I won't do it. I refuse to let homophobia, transphobia, and any other phobia that goes just to make other people feel bad. I know I can't stop it myself, but I'm sick of giving that for the sake of respect and civility. Because to me, there's nothing less civil than using a 2,000-year-old book to justify treating other people badly. A trans person has enough to worry about without thinking about what makes you uncomfortable. A gay person has enough to worry about without answering your questions about how they have sex. And to be quite honest, it's none of your fucking business. how they have sex. It's none of your fucking business what's written on their birth certificate, because you have never had to answer that, and you shouldn't. That is a completely inappropriate question. You shouldn't have your sex life questioned. You shouldn't have your real name questioned. You shouldn't have your identity questioned. But fortunately, you, Mr. Straight White Heterosexual Cis Christian, have never had to worry about that. So how can you sit there on your goddamn soapbox and talk about you knowing what it's like more than the person experiencing it, saying that you know more about someone's own identity than they do? When you say that, regardless of whether you're using Jesus or anybody else to justify it, you're being an asshole, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of having to give that to you because of sincerely held religious beliefs. My sincerely held religious belief is don't be an asshole, and if you're acting like that, you're being an asshole, whether it's Jesus-y or not. You're losing this fight. Gay people exist, they're getting married, and it's not going away. Trans people exist whether or not you're going to try to pass your bullshit paranoid laws, because they've existed longer than this country. So have gay people. So have everything else that keeps you up at night, because it's somehow going to ruin the country unless Donald Trump gets elected president. America is great. It doesn't need to be made great again. What needs to be made great is allowing other people to experience the worry-free things that you never have to consider. Whether you have to worry about whether or not holding hands with your life partner is going to get you attacked, or whether using the bathroom is going to get you assaulted or worse. You don't have to worry about that. So quit piling on the people who do, and instead stand up for them instead of using your sincerely held religious beliefs to keep them down. There's no reason for it. If you're in the position where you can hold other people down, use that privilege for something other than doing that. Because to me, that shows a lot more moral dignity than using it to hold other people down, or to deny them birth control. If you feel you have the right to override a doctor because you don't believe in the thing that they got, too fucking bad. You should pick another career. Because if I have to sell a t-shirt I don't agree with, or I might get fired, you should be held to the same standards. Unless you're going to give me the same privilege. If I ever have a retail job again, and the first time someone is a jerk to me or responds to the question, how are you doing today, with just looking, if I can at that point make a big hoopla about how it's my sincerely held religious belief that that person is being an asshole and I shouldn't have to help them, and not lose my job over it, and in fact be given some sort of privilege medal because of it, then we can talk. But I'm still probably going to think you're being an asshole.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast, or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Inciting Incident. As most of you know, I don't script anything, so all of this is off the cuff as always. We'll be getting back on schedule as I get back onto my pen schedule and try not to lose myself in the jungle of Philadelphia while I'm dreaming of a cabin in Grand Marais. Someday. Once again, I want to thank all of our patrons. especially our newest one, Ryan H., and our all-time top patrons, Greg T. Reich, Justin J. Sternberg, Eliza Baker, Rob Daniels, and I want to give a big shout-out to Greg T. Reich, who, in addition to starring on the last show, doubled his pledge and also drove Uncle Yo to my wedding so he could officiate. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, all the patrons who make this show go. If you want to help the show, you know how to do it by now. Listen to the nice man's voice a few minutes ago. And we'll be back to normal as soon as we can. I wish I could broadcast from here all the time. Someday I will. And you guys are going to help me do that. A few weeks ago, I was told that I needed to just stop bitching online and start doing something about things if I believed in them. Well, our show has reached over 50,000 people in the last 2 months. So if that's not getting out and actually doing something instead of just complaining online, I don't know what is. But if you think I'm just sitting around bitching online, you haven't been paying attention. Stop calling each other idiots when they disagree with you. Stop calling people out over trivial shit. Stop fighting with people who should be our allies. Stop using things to make you feel morally superior to people who are different. Whether you believe in God or you just read the philosophy of Plato, we're all trying to be happy. We're all just trying to get through the day, and we're all trying to do it with as little stress as possible. So whether you say a prayer before every meal, or you just are trying to live it up to the most because you don't believe there's going to be anything after this, just don't be an asshole to other people who are different. That's all I ask. I'm not asking you to change your religion. I'm not even asking you to agree with people with different lifestyles. Just stop using yours to take away from theirs. If we're truly going to call America great and we're truly going to talk about equality and freedom, that doesn't just include the ones you like. We've all agreed that there are certain people we shouldn't tolerate. Rapists, murderers, pedophiles. But different lifestyles that don't hurt anybody and are consensual, I think that's pretty great. Let's leave it alone. Let people dress how they want. Let people call themselves what they want. Let them label how they want. And if you label as straight, white, Christian, and cis, good for you. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you do. But don't accuse me of intolerance if I point out that you're having that position while talking about other people and trying to justify how you're better than they are. That's the point of this. Not to talk shit on religion, but just to talk about how if we're going to talk about equality and freedom, the standards need to be the same, and one group shouldn't be the only one who gets to be represented. If you want to call me out on that or the logic that I'm failing, please do. In fact, come on the show if you want. I'd be more than glad to talk to you. But I will not stand for homophobia. I will not stand for transphobia. I will not stand for bullying, name-calling, or using things to end a conversation instead of start one. If you're starting with everybody who's different than me is wrong, or if you don't believe this, then you're an idiot, we're never going to get anywhere. And I don't think I've done this in this rant. I'm only speaking up for my sincerely held beliefs. I don't consider them religious, but I have just as much of a right to them as anybody else. And I'm not using them to hurt anybody. I simply want to speak up for those whose voices have been drowned out by the paranoid, the bullies, and the overtly religious. Those who would seek to divide us rather than strengthen us. Those who would seek to hurt people rather than help them. And those who would seek to justify hatred in the name of a God that is supposedly all about love. I'm all about love. I'm ending my honeymoon soon, and I love my wife more than any words I could ever put on this podcast. It's because of her that I'm here. It's because of her that I believe in myself as much as I do, and felt the need to get my voice out here. My sister introduced me to Noah, and through Noah I learned about Eli and all the other podcasts I admire. But it's because of her that I wanted to speak out and that I had enough belief in the voice that I have to do it. It's because of her that I have the muse for the words that I do and that I feel so strongly. I'm getting a little mushy now, I know, but I get a lot of emails about how the words I've said have affected people, both in my column and my podcast. Well, if you've ever written me a thank you note, you should send one to her too. Because without her, I don't know if I'd be where I am right now. And she deserves it even more than I do, if you think I do. I'm going to wrap it up there because I got a little bit of time left on my honeymoon. And I've managed to avoid technology all for but the recording of this podcast. And do me a favor. Don't skip the last few minutes of this podcast because I want you to listen to this song, even though I play it every week. Listen to this song and just picture a clear sky full of stars with nothing but silence around you. Picture Lake Superior with evergreen trees and white birch and nothing but the wind. Picture a cabin in the middle of the woods with no one around for miles and your favorite book on your lap with no worries, just for a little while. Distance yourself from reality. Let your nerves unwind. Forget about the stress you have. Forget about going to work tomorrow. Forget about all your responsibilities, even if it's just for a few minutes. And listen to Neil's song. Because we should all have the privilege of going on vacation every once in a while without having to feel guilty about it. And nothing brings me closer to that moment and that feeling when I'm not there than Michigan Moon. Good night.
Driving up toward Green Bay, the east, the sun's in the rearview mirror. We both had some pretty tough weeks, wide knuckles try to steer. A few more miles, there's no telling what we'll find. All we gotta do is take a little time. We all gotta find our own ways to love and hope and breathe again. Some that just happens to be on the shores of Lake Michigan. You can't explain the way a city grips your mind. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Flow right in and hear rocks that vanish from our sight. Kinda like those troubles that wash away quicker in the moonlight. crazy old world's got no reason or rhyme. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Little to no chance for all that stormy weather, no. It appears conditions won't get much better for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Sometimes this old world seems much worse than it should be. Couple days later, you're sitting and thinking how lovely. I won't question the scope or design. All I gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan.